Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Last night, we showcased Newark's young sporting talent. Just to prove that this is the all-round show to beat any other show. He's going to hit me in a minute. We've got a golden oldie in tonight. And I don't mean Tony Smith, by the way. Oldie, yes, golden, never. It's the first time for Radio Newark Sport as we go stock car racing tonight. Dave Sharp took up the sport at the age of 62, and as it turns out, he's very good at it. Now, my wife is your classic backseat driver. In fact, she's a pain in the neck in the car. Dave's wife and his daughter are his mechanics. How good or bad is that? We'll see what Dave thinks. Ivan Bass tells us about a classic weekend in Belgium for Finlay. And Claire Hatry is getting all excited about a promotion for the Newark Tennis Ladies. I'm Mick Bradley. He's Tony Smith. And this is Radio Newark Sport. And we start our Wednesdays with our newish feature, Tony's teaser. When we test him on a subject that I haven't pre-warned him about, because 25 years as a sports editor plus a BBC grounding before then, he should be able to give us the answers. So I've got it all worked out what I was going to talk to him about. It was all there. And I've changed my mind.
Oh, thank you.
No problem at all. But you'll like this one, because we've talked about this one in the past, but it's reared its head again. So I think we need to talk it out.
It's not bobsleigh, is it?
So to speak. No, but talking of bobsleigh, Mr. Smith, after our conversation last week, Britain's Micah McNeil has been powered by the people as they've raised £30,000 in a crowdfunding target to send her to the Winter Olympics. You see, we sorted out Russia.
Sepp Blatter.
We've now sorted out Sepp Blatter, and we've now sorted out that one. This is the power of this programme.
It's good to know both our listeners are stretched far apart.
Exactly. Right, your teaser. And we spoke about this before. The cricket club at the centre of the fair play row in the Welsh League.
Yes.
Okay, we've now had the disciplinary hearing. Right, and they've been relegated.
Have they?
Carlo declared after scoring just 18 runs for one wicket against title rivals Cressley in the final match of the Pembrokeshire League season. The declaration meant their opponents could not win the league as they could not pick up enough bonus points, and Carlo went on to be crowned champions. So after the disciplinary hearing, Carlo will remain as champions, but they've also been relegated. This is Wales. A disciplinary group was set up by the Pembrokeshire County Cricket Club, which runs the game locally, and launched an investigation following complaints. Carlo started the day 21 points clear, with 20 points for a win, declared on 18 for one, denied their opposition of any batting or bowling points. Officials said technically they did not break any rules, but complaints led to the creation of this four-man disciplinary committee, which looked at the team's actions. It was decided to relegate Carlo to Division 2, but allow them to remain as champions. The team's captain has also been banned from starting the 2018 season, and the club has been fined £300. they are appealing against it. We've spoke about this before. Paul Johnson's coming in next Thursday night, and we're going to speak about it again, I've got no doubt. Technically, they didn't break a rule. So if you take that to the highest court that they're going to take it to, how can they be relegated? Or is it still a gentleman's sport and there is an unwritten rule that they have broken? Over to you.
It's not an unwritten rule. It's called the spirit of the game. And as a qualified umpire, you learn an awful lot about the spirit of the game. And what they did was, you know, totally within the laws, totally within the rules of that particular league.
You've told me off about that before.
No, I know. Sorry. Leagues have rules. Cricket has laws. And one, the most important and number one law of cricket is to observe the spirit of the game. So what that committee will have done is they will have taken that into account and gone with the league rules and said, OK, you can be champions, but the way you play the game stinks. Cheerio.
Have they the authority, though? I would argue, and I'm not saying what they did was right, because it was completely out of order. Absolutely, completely out of order. But I can't see where anybody has the authority to take any action against somebody who has not broken a league rule.
No, but they've broken the first law of cricket.
Which is?
It must be played at all times in the spirit of the game. And that's in the laws from the MCC. And they run the show. That's why the league have acted.
So that's in the rule book?
That's in the laws.
It's in the rule book?
But in the rule book for the Welsh League, they've done nothing wrong.
There you go. So I go back to my point.
But the MCC at Lords are the grand masters of the game, the Jedis. And you've got to go with them, otherwise you're in deep trouble. Hence the
relegation. If I was the club secretary of this Carlow Cricket Club, as much as I would be embarrassed, I would take that further, because they haven't broken a rule.
Not within the league. But the game of cricket is far bigger than some Welsh league, and so therefore that's why the action has been taken. And it depends what sort of people are on the committee when they appeal, as they most certainly will. If the appeal is made up of cricket lovers of a certain age, then the decision will be upheld. If it's made up of young people who go, oh, that's rubbish, how can you do that? Because it's dead right what they did. But unfortunately, when it gets to cricket, the decisions at the top are generally made by people who can't tie the shoelaces, so that they won't get away with it.
There's nothing to get away with, because they haven't broken a rule. Let's have a look at some of our local stars.
Anyway, about last night. Oh,
what?
The question was supposed to be about, can the mighty Leeds...
Yes, well, they're not mighty, the dirty Leeds. Okay, and a fantastic news from Tutor Reed. The three of their ex-pupils are being scouted by the county. Esme, Harriet and Tila have all been chosen to attend a 20-week development programme with the opportunity of playing for Nottinghamshire. Grantham Town got back to winning ways in the Evo Stick League last night, absolutely thrashing Sutton Coldfield by 6-1 at the Mears Leisure Centre. And the Newark Town Ladies put in a great performance in their Division 3 league finale against Retford. They won it! And that puts them right back up into Division 2 next season. And of course, there's only going to be one person to talk about that a little bit later on in the evening. Our very own chairman of the Andy Murray Appreciation Society, Claire Haytree, is going to be joining us.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And it's time to go stock car racing and say a very good evening to our special guest, Mr. Dave Sharp. Dave, good evening.
Good evening. You're all right.
I'm going to start off by saying, you've got a big one there, haven't you? It's massive. We've never had such a big one in the studio, have we, Tony?
Never.
I will take a photo of Dave's big one and show everybody later on. But as trophies go, that is a trophy worth winning.
Thank you.
Have your mantelpiece big enough to put it on?
That's the problem we had. Marilyn's had to go... moving things around to actually get it on the top of the
on the bookshelf.
It's on the bookshelf.
Yeah, we had to move the books off the bookshelf to get it on.
That's a wonderful trophy, that one is. So we're going to talk about stock car racing. We're going to have a little bit of fun, because I'm absolutely gone on this wife and daughter being your mechanics. I mean, you know, it's great. My wife would say, what is a wheel? You know, but...
can we just go back?
Oh, you're still there, are you?
Have you filled the trophy yet?
Not from here, no.
As soon as Tony said I know him, I thought it's going to be a long night. Before you took up stock car racing, and I love this one, you raced gliders.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to put stock cars on hold at the moment because this absolutely fascinates me. Glider flying, yes. I mean, I've never done it. We sent one of our youngsters up but once and she thought it was absolutely fantastic. But I never realised you actually raced them. I thought you was up there totally at the mercy of wherever the wind sort of took you. Talk to me a bit about your previous sporting love.
Oh, it's not previous because I'm still doing it.
All right. Where these days, locally, do we go gliding then? Because they don't do it from Newark anymore, do they?
No. That site closed down. They moved to Dalton, where they are based now. There's two clubs combined and got Dalton. I fly at Cranwell with the Royal Air Force Gliding and Soaring Association because we used to be based at Syston and then we got to move to different locations and then that's where I fly now. And so in my spare time I do gliding at weekends when I'm not racing stock cars.
You have spare time?
Not a lot.
Glider racing though, that's a new one to me.
Yeah, gliding competitions carry on throughout the summer. And basically what it is, it's just like racing around a course, around the country, or around the countryside, anything from probably 100 kilometres up to 500 kilometre distances. You climb up in the thermals or any other lift you can find, and then glide to the next piece of lift and then just keep carry on and going until you complete the course. And if it's the conditions deteriorate, you land in a suitable field. Farmers are normally quite interested when we land and arrive.
I think they're well impressed come June or July.
And that's the sort of thing what we do. And that's how Marilyn and Teresa got involved when I was younger. Because when I used to lob one in a field somewhere miles from home, they used to come out with a trailer on the back of the car and come and find us and pick us up, take it to pieces and throw it to the back of the trailer. Then we go and find the nearest pub, have a bite to eat and a pint.
So what you're really telling me, you've had your wife and daughter running around after your older lives?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I'm just about there. There's some massive nodding going on here.
Isn't there? There is, isn't there? So when did you sort of move away from gliders and find stock car racing?
Well, last year, to start it off, basically, when I was a kid, my parents used to take me to Long Eaton to the stock car racing there, and we used to watch it, and I was always interested. And at school, I had a friend at school called Chris Spafford, whose dad used to race, Norman. And we used to go to Long Eaton and we used to hide under the cars as they went in on the transporter into the, so we didn't have to pay. And then we used to go and watch the racing there and then come back out again.
I'm from Newark, I am.
And basically went on from there. And I always had an interest in it. And then last year, the family bought me a taster day down at Northampton Raceway, driving one of the Formula 2s. And I sort of enjoyed it rather a lot. So I then had a go in one of the V8s at the back end of last season for a couple of goes, and then over the winter I bought one.
It's a little different, isn't it? Because, you know, I've got visions of when you're up there soaring in the sky, there's nothing, no noise, nothing, it's just you and the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Stock car racing has got to be the complete opposite.
Well, it is rather fast and noisy, yeah. It can get a bit boisterous at times on track, but...
I actually went up in a glider when I was at
you?
The... Yeah, yeah.
He was a lot younger and thinner.
I was going to say it.
But I went up in a glider when I was at the Advertiser to do a story on a guy who was competing in the World Acrobatic Gliding Championships in Turkey. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. The headline was the greatest roller coaster ride in the world. But I was surprised how noisy it was with the wind rushing sort of past the perspex or whatever.
Was that Ian you were with?
It could well have been, yeah.
Up at Syston at the time.
Yeah, at Syston.
Yeah, that's a friend of mine.
I think there were 82 in the World Championships, and they finished 82nd. Would that be him?
Ian's pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's not him.
He's built his own aeroplane now. Aeroplane.
So they've got you the car. You've been for the taste today. So you went for the taste today. You come back, and then you bought yourself a car.
Yeah.
How do you buy a stock car? I mean, is it just a wreck and then make it into a bigger wreck, or is it?
No, it's a custom built vehicle. It's single seater, and it's depending on what formula you race. It depends on what size the engine is. The one I race is what they call a V8 Hot Stocks, which has got a 4.2-litre Rover V8 engine in it, race-tuned. And you can have a smaller engine one, which is a 2-litre, but the F2s. And then if you really want to go and spend a lot of money, you can get one of the F1s that use the big Chevy short block engines. You can pay anything up to about £25,000 for an engine.
4.2 V8's big enough.
Yeah, just about does the job.
Dear.
So we decided to buy that. Dougie Brasher from Brasher Racing, who I'd hired a car from a couple of times, his son Chris was world champion, and they'd got a spare car lying in the back of the yard, and I saw it one day and said, "What's that?" So it's Chris's old car, we're not using it at the moment, and we wanted to hire a car for another occasion, and the original hire car wasn't available, and so basically Dougie pulled this one out the back of the yard, refurbished it and put it on the track good enough, and we finished it off on the Friday night. We raced it at Coventry on the Saturday, and then the following on the day after, we raced it at Northampton, and then the week after that, he said, "Well, you're all right, and we'd like it. Would you like to race the car on a permanent basis? If you can buy it, you can have it." And that's what we did. So bought the car, and it's now kept at Brasher Racings at Burton on the Wolds, and they maintain it, and that's where we've gone from there.
And one thing led to another, as I say. We're going to have a quick break, and we're going to talk to Ivan Bass about his son Finlay's exploits in Belgium over the weekend. Then we're going to come back, and I've got to talk to the mechanics. I have got to talk to the mechanics. We've been following the exploits of Finlay and Leo Bass all through the summer, and the accumulation of Finlay's fantastic season was a trip over to Belgium to do some road racing at the weekend. So now we're going live to his PA, Ivan Bass. Ivan, welcome back to Radio Newark.
Hello, mate. Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good, good. I'm going to leave it to you to tell us about it. Finlay, in Belgium, I've seen some of the videos that you took of it. It looks like you had a fantastic weekend. Tell us, first of all, why you was over there and what it was all about, Ivan.
Yeah, well, the reason why I was over there is the team he rides for, the MI Race Academy, they'd organise the trip there, basically. They'd organise all the hotel and the fees for the registry and things like that. And six of the team went, and it was just one of them that went, that's all. We just chose to go there, because we missed out on going to Holland in the summer, so we thought we'd go to there instead.
Road racing over on the continent is a completely different proposition to over here, isn't it, Ivan?
Well, it was on Sunday. I believe it is anyway. They tend to not plan it out as much. They just, the gun goes and they're off. And over here, it tends to be a lot of sprinting involved. They slow the race down and they save it for a sprint. Over there, they're off from the start, and it kind of suited Sunday, really.
So tell us about the racing then, because he come out of it at the end of it with a good result, didn't he?
He did. I mean, the race set off, it was about 15 miles, 12 to 15 miles, I can't exactly remember now. And they raced around a town called Wielsbeck, and it's about the size of Bolton. They closed all the roads off, which is absolutely no bother to the people who live there at all. In fact, they embrace it. They all come out to the end of the street, and they sit down with the deck chairs and camping out, and they're cheering them all on. The race sets it off. Finlay was started right at the back of the pack, due to the gear checking in there. It started off at the back, which he wasn't happy about. Off he went, and I didn't see him again until he came round at the first lap, and he was in third place the first time round. And the race went like that. It just seemed to suit him down to the ground, and he told me afterwards there was constant attacking all the way through the race. I think on the fourth lap, he came round about 40 metres clear. So I thought it was definitely in good form. And you know, I was obviously getting excited, and there's a decent crowd there. And come to the last lap, final corner, I think about eight of them broke away, and Finney was on the outside. They went round the left-hand corner, and they kind of swayed out left, forced him into the railings. He had to break, which pretty much cost him the first place, I think, because he had 15 metres to make up, which he would have done if the race was about another 5 or 10 metres longer. I think you've seen the photo, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
So, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great finish. I mean, it was so tight at the end. I think there was about a foot in between the first and the fourth place rider.
But it's the next stage forward in his career, isn't it? Weekends like this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be able to do it all the time. I mean, over there in Belgium, it's just cycling's their thing. You know, football's a second sport to them. And everywhere you go, you can go on the major roads, and there's a cycle path, and the motorists, they just welcome you. They stop at every junction, and they're waving you across. It's completely different to over here. Over here, it's just... Anyway, it's a bit dangerous, to be honest. So,
can we move to Belgium, Dad?
I think, well, he really enjoyed it. It was a bit fed up at the end of the race because he thought he could have won it. And to be honest, I think he could have won it. You know, and if it was a bit longer, or if he planned it a little bit better, just the way it works out sometimes. So, but he absolutely loved it, and the rest of the team did well. We had a win. One of the lads actually won in the older age group. And it's just a nice experience going over there, and how they treat it completely differently to us. It's so professional, right, even at the youth level.
Ivan, it was a big decision for the boys and for the family at the start of the season to join the academy. Looking back now at the end of summer, was it the right decision?
Well, I think they've gone as far as they could with the Newark club as it stands at the minute, because I think, as Paul will tell you, they're kind of limited to how they can train them and how they can push them in certain directions. And with this Newark club, I mean, you've got it, on Saturday when we was riding, we had a ride out on Saturday as well around Belgium to a place called Oudenaarde, and we had three ex-professional bike racers with us, and they was riding with the lads. So that experience is invaluable, really, to them. And they're constantly talking to them, telling them things. And after the race, they come with the Finlay, and they said, "Okay, going forward, what would you do different?" And so they're questioning them, you know, without pushing them. It's just, yeah, I think it's the right decision. I think they both want to ride for them next year, so I think it's definitely the right decision.
And now they look forward to cyclocross. We had Flo and Lottie in on them Tuesday night, and Flo Lisseman was saying that she prefers cyclocross to any other form of cycling.
Yes, I think a lot of road cyclists use cyclocross as a keep fit kind of thing, really. And we've got Finley a new bike for cyclocross, and Leo's got his old one. So yeah, we're going to do a few. We don't think we'll do them all, but we'll do as many as we can to keep the fitness levels up. But more really to keep the competitive edge, because last year we did a lot of training. But you know, they kind of lose that competitive edge a little bit when they start racing, so it takes them a bit longer to get back into it.
And the need to be going into the next road racing season, absolutely spot on. Ivan, thank you so much for taking time out to join us and telling us all about Finley's trip to Belgium. And I say that it's progression of a young man that we expect to go a long way in this cycling world, and we'll keep in touch with you and him and tell everybody know what's going off. Ivan, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. I speak to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Ivan.
Ivan Bass there. Cracking weekend in Belgium. Let's find out some of the national headlines.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
England cricket head coach Trevor Bayliss says he's definitely not happy that some of his players were out late after the win over the West Indies on Sunday. Ben Stokes has a fractured finger after being arrested on suspicion of causing actually bodily harm. He was released without charge but remains under investigation. But he has been named in the Ashes squad. Former England captain Nasser Hussain says he hopes it's a wake-up call for Stokes. Meanwhile, Essex batsman Tom Westley has been dropped for the tour of Australia, but James Vince and Gary Balance, for the 48th time, has been given another chance. Elsewhere, Worcestershire have been promoted to Division 1 of the County Championship. They were sent up to the top flight after Northamptonshire failed to get the bonus points they needed to catch them in the game against Leicestershire. And if my maths are correct, Notts only need a draw to secure a return to Division 1 at the first time of asking. They go into the last day of the season trailing Sussex by 88 runs on first innings. One day to go, two innings. Come on, you can surely get a draw out of that. And Chris Reid actually got a ton on his last ever innings. Well, we think his last ever innings for Notts. That's fantastic. In football, plenty of Champions League action tonight. Man United are in Russia to face CSKA Moscow. And to prove that Jose Mourinho has got a joke in him somewhere, he's made Ashley Young his captain. Chelsea away to Atletico Madrid. The club, they sold Diego Costa too. That should be fun. And Celtic face a trip to Belgium side Anderlecht, whose players are on £50,000 a man to beat Celtic. That's giving money away.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
We ranted at length last night about Ben Stokes, and our former sports editor has gone home and thought about it and has come up with a couple of more thoughts of his own.
Yeah, because I just think it was a very unfortunate incident, but the incident actually took place in a nightclub in Bristol called The Embargo. So, given that, couldn't they have delayed the news until after the Ashes? And also,
he's here all week, folks.
And also,
it's a shame, but he is.
That talking about him going to Australia with a potential criminal record, that used to be essential to get into the country. You know, so I can't see a problem myself.
You see, and they say John Bishop's a comedian. Still to come. It's clear. Hey, Tree, talking about a cracking weekend.
I've got to go.
I wish you would. Newark Tennis Club. But
Is it a phone call?
Now it's time for Mechanics Weekly.
I haven't got my Will Farmers' stab vest. Is it a phone call?
Yes, it's a phone call. Panic. So I learnt all about Dave and stock car racing. Dave told you that 62 years old, he decided that stock car racing was a thing, which I think is absolutely wonderfully brave to start with. And then I read a bit further on down and find out that his wife and his daughter are basically his pit crew. Well, I've said before, if I take my wife anywhere near a car, we fall out. Very, very sort of...
Well, to be honest, I don't drive when he's in the car.
You see, typical woman gets involved before you've even introduced her. Good evening to Marilyn and good evening to Teresa.
Evening.
We've now found out who's boss. That didn't take long at all.
No.
How on earth did you come about being his mechanic?
Well, I don't let him loose on his own there.
What's your mechanic background? I mean, I take it you haven't got time to sort of say, what's that, where's that, how do you do that, does this fit here, things like that. You seriously have got to know what you're doing.
We don't actually get into the engine part of it. Teresa and I are the ones that refuel the car. We check the carbs and put the oil in there if needed. We check the clutch fluid, make sure that's okay, top it up if needed. And we're learning as we're going on, really.
Change the wheels. Also, quite a lot of sledgehammering to metalwork as well.
If you're listening, Sharon, they change the wheels.
And sledgehammer the metal.
Well, she's good at that, yeah.
Yeah, Mother's Day present was a pink sledgehammer and a pink lump hammer.
Brilliant. When he sort of had this wonderful idea that he wants to go stock car racing, and it says it's your fault for buying him the day out in the first place, did you get involved from the outset then, or was it sort of, hang on a minute, yes, okay, we've got the driver, but look around us, there's more to it than this?
No, we both said that we would support him. If this is what he wanted to do, we would support him. Teresa and I, as Dave's already said, supported him when he was gliding. We got very good at taking gliders to bits and putting them back together again. towing the trailers and finding him in fields.
Can I just add, these trailers weren't just small trailers, they're 19, 20 metres long.
Yeah.
Mum used to drive, I used to navigate.
You don't drive a horse box, do you?
Actually, yes. Yeah. I have got a horse.
Yeah. Moving on swiftly. I suppose actually it's slightly safer on a stock car track than him falling out the sky.
Well, I'm not sure.
No. I think both carry risks, but it's like any sport, you know, or anything in life. You know, there's risk to anything, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
So just
talk me through the sort of average trip out then. Before we do that, I've had a message come in, and I know the young man that obviously sent the message in, and apparently he used to go to Great Yarmouth twice a week when he was a kid, and he loves stock car racing. Yes, but you don't have to drive like a stock car racer on the road, do you, Craig? Moving on. When all this come about then? So we've got the car, and let's go to the first serious outing. Was you two on board?
Yes, from day one.
Yes.
Yeah, we both helped.
Dave, is there a crossword if they don't do it quick enough, or they don't do it correctly, or I mean, do you?
No,
because I mean, it's got to be, the tension's got to be running high, hasn't it? I mean, you've got to be hyper in there because it's, you know, you've got to be there on the ball, and it's got to be right.
Yeah, I can get a little bit wound up occasionally, but it's they're both used to me.
We need a video
after all these years. Yeah. Sorry, I've got two girls nodding at the side of me.
And I would assume, like most wives and daughters, they completely ignore every word you say to them.
No, they're quite good actually.
Right.
It's got to the stage now.
I've got the wrong two.
Yeah, it's got to the stage now. If we have an incident on track, and they usually spot what the damage is before we even get recovered off the track, and usually by the time we get back to the transporter, the tools are out and all the spares are out, and everything's ready to be repaired, and we've had bent track rod arms, totally wrecked tyres and wheels, and we've changed the whole set, re-straightened the track rod arms, put it all back together again, and be back on track in 15 minutes ready for the next race. So these girls are pretty good.
When you get your instructions before you go start, I mean, forgive me, because I know as much about stock car racing as these was about cricket. So forgive me, but I know it's a contact sport, but is it supposed to be a contact sport?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. There are rules for safety reasons. There's certain things you're not allowed to do. Deliberately ramming people is illegal. Deliberately fencing people is illegal. And also, if you do what you call a following, where you push a car into the fence while you're still pushing it, you'll get an immediate 6-month ban for that.
So, sort of side contact, that sort of thing. Natural contact, if you like.
Most of the contact happens when you're going into the corners, because you want to get around the corner quicker than the guy in front. So it's quite legal to, as you come up behind him, to leave the braking a little bit later, give him a tap on the back bumper so he goes a bit wide, and then you pass him on the inside.
Force him a little bit wide as well.
Yeah. You've got to be very brave, haven't you? It's almost the bravest man standing, isn't it? you know, you've got to not brake until everybody else has.
Yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted, no.
No. Have the ladies ever had a go at stock car racing?
Not yet.
Oh, right, okay. Not yet means it's on the agenda.
I don't know. I mean, it's something that, you know, I would like to have a go at some point. I don't know whether the V8s are really for me, because there are a lot of power in those. And at the moment, I can't reach the pedals. My legs are too short, so I'd have to have blocks put on the pedals.
Actually, we did that for a guy called Guy Jolly the other week. He borrowed a car, and the pedals were that far away. We got blocks on there so he could reach the pedals, so he could race the car.
I think I'd need a practice first before going out on the track, though.
Well, yeah. I don't blame you. I mean, horse box drivers never normally go more than 25 miles an hour.
You don't think I'd have picked any ordinary babysitter, would you?
No.
I think I was a good influence.
I did drive Dave round on the parade lap this weekend.
Oh, there you go, you see. You see, you didn't argue with the wife. She's driving there.
Well, no, because on Sunday it was the World Final at Buxton, and they have a parade before the actual race itself, and we're on the outside of the car, and so you actually need somebody inside of the car to point it the right direction. Oh. So
good stuff.
Marilyn had never driven one before, so she jumped in, and her initiation to driving a stock car was actually on the parade lap at the World Final. So there's no pressure there.
No pressure at all.
I've got visions of him flying off the back at some point.
Put your foot down too much. Where's he gone? When I was a youngster, stock car racing was... Yes.
It's pulled by horses.
Before steam, then.
Yeah, that's a long time.
For another £5 a week, I could have had John Motson.
Yeah. Then I don't know what problems you would have had.
When I was a youngster, Skaggy and Yarmouth and King's Lynn, the stock car racing was all the rage. It was so, so popular. And then it seemed to just die away a bit, and it left the news pages, and it stopped being on television, and people tended to forget about it. I'm assuming the diehards were still there doing stock car racing, because the fact is you still do go stock car racing at Skeggy and Yarmouth. They're still there. Is it slowly, I think, becoming back into the sporting limelight?
It's the crowds are getting bigger again, and also it's helped. There was a couple of television programmes on over the last 2 or 3 years about stock car racing, including the Wayman family and the Smiths, and the rivalry between those families, which regained a bit of interest. And also now Premier Sports on a Monday evening, there's Formula One stock car racing on just about every Monday evening now. So if you want to watch stock car racing on TV, it's actually there, available again.
It's good, because the one thing Tony and I are sort of very, very strong about is you know, a sport should encompass everybody, and there's so many different types of sport out there, and we do try and talk about as many sports as we can apart from horse racing and darts. Well, you know, so we do make an effort, but this stock car racing is a new one tonight. So your favourite track, Skeggy, Yarmouth, King's Lynn?
I like Skegness. It's a lovely atmosphere there, especially during the summer season when the holiday makers are there, because all the children come round the pits, and it's quite often we've had them sat in the car, and because I always look back when I was a kid, I always remember things what people let me do, and when the kids come around, I always look after them, and Marilyn does as well, and we try and make them feel welcome. If they want to sit in the car and have the photographs taken with the family, we do that. And as a result of doing that and taking the car around the schools, we've took it to Farndon School at Newark, and we took it to the gala day at Farndon when they were trying to raise money for the cricket club. And as a result of that, some of the families have actually come and started watching the stock car racing.
The other thing is, if I can say as well, there's a lot of youngsters coming through because there's mini stocks, and the kids under 16 can drive mini stocks, and there's a lot of youngsters coming through on that league as well.
I think like at Buxton on Sunday they had the mini stocks final, and it was an 11-year-old little boy that actually won that race, you know, from 11 to 16, so that's quite young, which is great, you know, because it's bringing families in, you know, and the youngsters through into the sport.
What I like to see is that stock car racing is another sport that's embraced the youngsters, because if you get the youngsters, like you've said, when they come to see and say, hey up mister, can I sit in your car? Of course you can, have your photo taken. They'll want to come back again, but if you sort of say no, you can't, get away from this car, chase them away, they're not, that's it, you've lost them. They want to come back again. And not everybody out there is a footballer or a rugby player or a hockey player. But everybody out there can be involved in sport.
You only get one chance to make a first impression. And if a family comes to watch the sport and they get a good impression, they'll come back again.
After taking the stock car to the school fete, I mean, I work at Farndon as a TA there, and after taking the stock car there, now I've got children that regularly come up to me and say, oh, I've been following your dad, he's racing, is he racing this weekend? And these are little girls as well. There's little girls out there that are really interested, and boys that, you know, want to follow the sport and see how things are going.
Okay, the cars are graded by the number of points scored over each grading period, white being the lowest, then yellow, blue and red. Dave, you're going into this final, my notes say you're currently third. in the white and yellow grade in the championship. Now, that was coming 13th in the British Championship in King's Lynn. This qualified you for the World Final in your first season, which ain't bad going, is it?
Well, I can just about cope with that.
Oh, I'm going to say, I think you can. So off we all went to Buxton Raceway at the weekend.
Yep.
So how did Team Sharp... Oh, I can see how they got on. Anybody with a camera here would have seen how they got on. But just tell me through Team Sharp's weekend at the World Championships. How different is the World Championships day from a normal night in Skeg?
It's quite a bit different. There's a lot of preparation work goes into it. Getting the tyres right for a start, because obviously tarmac courses are different to the shale courses, and you need to have the right setup for the car, suspension setup, steering setup. And we sorted all that out midweek. So on Sunday morning, we set off just after 7 o'clock in the morning. The first race, the first World Final, was at 1 o'clock, but we had to be there early for scrutineering. And also, we were allowed to, for World Finalists, were allowed practice sessions. So I took the opportunity of having three practice sessions on the trot, ones after each other, to try and get the car set up right.
Bearing in mind that David had never actually raced on that track before either, so it was his first time racing at Buxton.
Silly question number, how many, I don't know. How are the tracks different? How is Buxton different to... it's tarmac, you said that, but apart from that... Because there must be a set sort of length.
All the tracks are ovals. It's the short ovals we race on. They're either tarmac surface or shale. But the difference in them is actually the surface of the tarmac. Different tarmacs grip differently. Some have got bank corners, and some aren't level. I mean, Buxton, you've got it's set on a slope, so you're going downhill and into like a corkscrew left for the first bend, and that's banked. And then when you go up the hill on the far side, you've got a flat bend, which is off camber as well. So the car handles totally different.
Totally different to a flat.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the previous meeting, we were racing at Hednesford, which is about the fastest oval in the country, and that's banked at both ends. And we had to calm it down a bit at Hednesford because we were over revving the engine. So,
So, come on then. This fantastic trophy sitting in front that's bigger than anything else in the studio apart from my co-host. How did you... Tell me about it.
Well, that trophy... what basically they did, there were trophies for the first three in the World Final, but within the World Final, there were trophies available for three of the lower grades. If you had a white roof... there's a trophy for that. If you've got a yellow roof, one for that, and also you've got a blue roof. And at the beginning of the meeting, I noticed there were five white graded drivers there, of which I was one. And starting right off the back of the grid, when all the really good guys were at the front, I thought there's very little chance of me getting in the first three. So I concentrated in beating all the other white graded drivers. And basically, I just kept my head down and kept going, trying to keep out of trouble, and ended up being the recipient to the Sturt Trophy for the highest place white grade in the World Final.
And that was actually good thinking going into it, didn't it? You planned out what you wanted to do, and it worked to an absolute T. What about the pit crew at the World Championships? Did they perform admirably?
They were brilliant, really were. I was so pleased. It was because we prepared the car properly. We had very little adjustments to do to it before the race itself. We used different tyres for practice for what we did for the final, because we'd actually prepared some tyres for the World Final, which had already been buffed ready at the right angle to go straight on. And in the actual meeting itself, we just blew a rear offside tyre and in the last race of the day. And by the time I got back to the transporter, the jack was out, the spare wheel was out, the power tools are out, and the tyre was changed, and the car was on the trailer in less than 10 minutes.
So. This is where we've gone wrong, Tony. It's all about training.
I mean, let's face it, the pit crews of the Formula 1, they've all got their job to do. They know what they're doing. And if you've got all the tools in the right place and all the kit ready, and they know what's coming into the pits, then at least it helps. And Marilyn's quite good at this.
How quick can you change a tyre?
10 minutes, I think, now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've got it down to about 10 minutes, and that's from literally the car pulling up into by the trailer, and getting all the kit and taking the
okay, off and everything. Let's have a fingernail check then.
Oh, I haven't got any.
No.
Not got any.
No, fingernails.
No, I'm not going to be a glamorous model, am I?
Okay, we're going to come back to you in a couple of minutes. We're just going to catch up with Tony's best friend about Newark Tennis Club. In the fastest moving show on this radio station, we're now going back to the phone lines. We're going to meet up with our tennis ace, our chief tennis correspondent, Claire Haytree. Claire, good evening.
Good evening, Mick. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, great, thank you.
Good, good. At the weekend, the ladies' first team gained promotion. Fantastic. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, they've played really well this season, and they've had the sort of same team going out every week. They've had some cracking matches, and they've gained a promotion, which is brilliant.
I've got Jane Hendley and Sue Bilton. They started it all off by winning every single match, really.
Yeah, they've done...
And then the others followed on.
Yeah, they've done remarkably well because they've swapped the team around a bit. They've changed the pairings this year. And, yeah, they've done really well. So, you know, good luck to them in the next season. It's really good news.
And the ladies' seconds, I'm told, have won 6 out of their 7 league matches this season. Does that get them promotion, Claire?
At the minute in the league, I think we're third at the moment because a couple of teams have got a couple of matches to play. But yeah, I played in 6 of them. I didn't play the last one. But we've had some cracking matches this year. I mean, we played one in the evening, which was the other night. That was at Farmsfield, you know, starting at 6 and finishing about 10 at night. That was different. But yeah, we've just had some really good matches this year and, you know, really enjoyable.
There's been some lows, more off the field than on the field lows. I think on the field, the summer of 2017 has been very good for Newark Tennis Club, Claire.
It has. We've gained a few more members. Struggling for male players still, so if anybody's out there, we need some more male players. Because we've had, a few going to university. Some, you know, they want to sort of stick with football and things, but, you know, we're crying out for, you know, members, really.
Off the field, any news on... Facility-wise, I mean, I know during the summer there was everybody got it moving that the tennis club are going to be involved when and if something happens at Elm Avenue. Is that still going to be the case?
I think our club secretaries have been to a couple of meetings and things. Hopefully, you know, we're going to get some courts on there because the town does need tennis courts. You know, if we don't get tennis courts in Newark, players are going to go elsewhere, or some people might not carry on playing anymore. Because as far as like the LTA, all the funding goes to the big towns. But you know they're going to be building more houses in Newark and Balderston, so they need to be getting behind the tennis club really, and the local council actually need to be getting behind the tennis club because there are people who want to play.
We always otherwise. Like a plug for the tennis club. As we've said, summer season is ending. That means you go off down to Sherwood Avenue. Then does it now?
That's right. They started this week at Sherwood Avenue, Tuesday and Thursday nights, 6:30 to 8:30. So if anybody wants to come down and meet some of the players. I mean, we went to the fixtures meeting last night, myself and Lynn in Mappley. So all the fixtures have been made for the Winter League because we're also playing that as well.
So tennis doesn't stop just because it gets cold and damp. Proper tennis carries on. If you are anybody interested out there and they want to play tennis, lovely friendly bunch at Newark Tennis Club. Get yourself down to the Sherwood Avenue courts on a Tuesday or Thursday evening. Introduce yourselves. You will be made to feel very, very welcome. Claire, thank you for joining us, updating us. It was a cracking weekend. There's a promotion party to come, I assume, then.
There probably will be having one. There is a tennis club night out this Friday, so that's a few of us. We'll be going out, you know, sort of, there's a group of us going out. But also to plug that there is coaching on a Saturday morning if people want to start learning to play. There is a coach on a Saturday morning down at the club, so if they go on our website or Facebook page, or the you know it's all on there. So if you want to go down, it's for an hour at a time. You know they've got a coach called John Penny, and if you know you want to go down, go and have a bit of coaching.
Get yourself down there. There's absolutely no excuse at all. Claire, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you. We'll drag you into the studio very soon, because it's about time you come back and tormented Tony Smith about Andy Murray. So we'll get you back into the studio as well.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks so much, Claire. Clarence, bye. The wonderful Claire Haytree. Dave, what?
I think I'm doing my hair that night.
just leave it in the wash and pick it up when you get back home. There's a lot of hard work gone into what you've achieved in this fantastic trophy, and it's come probably quicker than you have even expected it to arrive. But to get that hard work, Dave, joking apart, these two have absolutely been fantastic, and you wouldn't have done it anywhere close to doing it.
No, I couldn't have done it
without them. Way out their help, and I would assume if normal wives and daughters are anything to go by, they would have told you that already. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? You've had to have some financial backing. You've had to have help out there.
Yes.
Let's have just a big thank you for all the guys and girls that have helped you along the way.
Our main sponsor financially is Lawrence Child from Jalapeno Business Systems. He's come on board this month, just before the World Final, to help us out financially, and it's been brilliant. So thanks very much, Lawrence, for your help. The guys down at Tanvic Tyres, who, when I come in every Monday morning with wreck wheels and that sort of thing, they get stuck in and help me and change all the wheels and tyres for us. And they do a brilliant job. And also, when we've been racing on the Shale on a Saturday night or Sunday, I go into Mukiki car wash at about 8 o'clock in the morning. The guys take one bucket of me and burst out laughing. And then they clean the car down for me. And they do a really good job. But it starts off really brown, and then it comes out a shiny colour again. So without those, and there's other places in the town that's helped us out with different bits and bobs over the year. I mean, like we ran out of wheel studs, and we dropped in and found the garage at Farnham Crossroads, Stuart East. He helped us out. He says, here's a box full of wheel studs, you know.
And that's what you need, didn't it? Good people with good backing.
Yes, I mean, it all helps.
What's the life expectancy of the car? It could be 5 minutes into the next race, but
that car has been on the go for about 12 years now. It won the World Final 3 times, and so it needs a total rebuild this winter. The engine will have to be rebuilt, and the bodywork will have to be totally refurbished. And so we're talking quite a lot of money over the winter to actually get it back up to speed, ready for next season again.
Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And the way Dave found Radio Newark is he sent an email into Radio Newark, and for his sins, all three of them have appeared on the sports show. And that's all you have to do, send an email into Radio Newark, studio at radionewark.co.uk. Send one to me, mick@radionewark.co.uk. If you've got a sport and you want to come in here and talk about your sport, we'll gladly listen, because it's absolutely fascinating, and we're learning as we're going along here, and we've learned a lot tonight, so we've had a fantastic night.
Thank you very much for inviting
us. Thank you.
If any of the listeners are interested in stock car racing, there's a big meeting on this Sunday at Sheffield, so...
Well, now we've found you, we don't let you go. That's the bad news. We don't let you go. All our shows are podcasts, and in the next 2 or 3 days, this one will be podcast, so if you missed any of it, or Dave knows of anybody who he thinks might want to listen to it, simple. Go to our website, find the podcast section, find Newark Sport. We're going to be there. Matt's sneezing tomorrow night because it's Sports Award season. We are gearing up to the Newark and Sherwood Sports Awards. We've also got a runner of the week, and it's not Not Fast, and it's not Striders. I'll tell you who it is tomorrow night.